The following podcast may contain inappropriate language, sexual content, and spoilers. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to the Gonzo.moe No Name Anime Show Podcast. I know it may be hard hearing the Yashahime opening theme song without us talking about Yashahime, but fret not, for I have ordered the first volume of the manga. It will be here, I don't know, in 2 weeks. Write stuff is really slow lately. I almost said short. They're probably short-staffed, and that's why they're slow. I'm JP. This week I'm joined by Kyle and Noel. How are you doing, Kyle?
I watched anime.
Nice. I did not. How about you, Noel?
Hey, what's going on? It's Noel. And much like anime, I am also totally unexpected and not kid stuff. I, however, am not straight from Japan.
But you maybe is what I'm hearing during the pre-show.
Maybe, yeah.
But this
still up in the air.
This is a anime discussion podcast. It comes out whenever I have time. Now that I'm back at work, it's hard to do that. But usually it comes out on Wednesdays around 4 p.m. The show is an hour. We talk about everything from news, reviews, Twitter, questions. Didn't get any of those this week. And it's on all of your favorite pod places, like the Apple Pod Store or Google Listen. I don't know. Spotify, probably. Follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handles will be in the show notes, which can be found at gonzo.moe. And if you want to leave us a voicemail, that is 716-46-MOE-43. That is 716-466-6343. We have a lot of review-y type things to talk about this week. Noel watched some One Piece movies. Kyle watched Time Bokan Royal Revival, I think I wrote that down correctly. I read a bunch of manga. I read Freyrin, Fly Me to the Moon, and if I have time, Asadora as well. But before we get into all of that, I want to talk about some upcoming anime conventions. If you are in New York or planning to go to Anime NYC, you should probably get a badge now, because I waited too long and the 3-day badges were sold out, and it forced me to go through it's like an official reseller. Which is very silly, because it's meant to curb scalping, but it's just officially sanctioned scalping, because I paid almost double price to get my badge.
Aww.
Normally they're like $100. I paid $169, which is not nice. Yes. but, you know, if you did wait too long, there are still single-day passes, as well as, you know, there's still a couple resellable, whatever you would call it. At least at the time that I did it, there was 6 available, and that was just like 2 days ago, which at the time you hear this will be a week ago. Anyway, smarter to do that than to buy 3 single-day passes. Otakon is also coming up. I don't think they have sold out. I don't know if they have an attendance cap.
Oh, they do, but they're so far underneath it. Like, let's put it, even when they were in the old Baltimore space, I never heard of them selling out.
Well,
they just kept on being like, let's let more people in. And then they were pretty close to capacity, though. Like, I think at 1 year, like maybe, I don't know, 2014 or something, they were like as close as they could get. And that's why they moved to the new building. But I think they're like tens of thousands of people underneath the capacity.
Nice.
Of the new center. So,
well, that con is coming up. We're about a month out, I think, because it's either the last or the second to last weekend of July. I still need to buy my bus ticket. If you have not gotten a hotel yet for Otakon, I don't know what to tell you. There's probably stuff available, but you will likely not be, you know, within a 5-minute walk of the convention center if you took this long.
Gonna have to maybe bunk with some strangers.
Yeah, you get one of those motorized scooters that I see people riding around on.
The good old anime way, where like just
Just ride the Metro in. I mean, you know, DC has Metro access.
I meant for hotel rooms.
I mean, I'm just saying, you get a hotel room far away, but along the Metro and just ride in.
That's fair.
Yeah, I remember my first year going to Otakon. there just kept being these people who would end up in our hotel room. I guess like they would talk to a guy and be like, "Hey, I'll give you $50."
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I sure hope that made everybody else's portion cheaper. Jesus.
Not really.
Well, we are still waiting on confirmation of panels. I know that they've sent out some declinations. I don't know if that's a word. They've declined my Anime Lockdown panel, but I've not.
Cowards.
But I've not yet heard on the Sound of Anime panel, which is probably a good sign because they send out rejections first. So if I haven't heard a rejection for that, then there's a pretty good chance that I am going to be doing that panel. I just have not heard yet. But yeah, Otakon should be a good time. I will be there. I think Kyle will be there, and I don't think Noel will be there. If he is, I haven't heard it.
Yeah, no, I probably won't be there.
I'll try to be there. Depends on, I mean, I hope to have a job sometime soon. But, you know, fair enough. We'll see.
Well, you live fairly close.
Yeah, I think I'll show up no matter what. I just am trying to see. Times are tight.
Yeah, that's fair. I know a bunch of Minnesota boys will be there this year. I think there's a lot of first-time Otakon people from our listener base, so that should be cool. And a lot of people that participated in Anime Lockdown in one form or another, so we may have a meetup. Another thing I want to talk about before we get into our discussion, and I don't know how in-depth we need to get into this, because I'm sure Vinny has a lot to say on the newsroom, but the Seven Seas Union was voluntarily recognized by Seven Seas. This is really cool. I believe the news came out yesterday. It was the only good piece of news to come out yesterday.
Yeah.
I think the reason why they volunteered to just accept it is they tried to hire the union-busting lawyer. It was like Deacon Ogletree or something.
Like the second biggest union-busting law firm in the country.
And it didn't work because even with their like pushing out certain people from being able to vote, the Seven Seas Union still had 77% in favor of joining the union. So I don't even know if they got to vote. No, they probably did get to vote, but the results wouldn't be out until the 1st of August, based on what they said.
Yeah.
So they probably just saw the writing on the wall. But this is really cool. This is a great first step in more... Well, I guess technically the voice actor stuff would have been the first step. So this is a big next step.
This is for manga, though, right? Like, I think this is primarily a manga thing.
This, yeah, I think this may be the first one for manga, but I'm just thinking of localization in general.
Right.
It all needs to go union, and I think that this will help inspire, you know, other manga companies as well as voice actors to start seriously thinking about it.
It's definitely not the end, because I know that this doesn't cover, for example, like workers for hire. So this is only staff of Seven Seas.
Yeah.
Which is not... You know, like, so I'm just saying, like, you know, not the end, but a very good start.
So, yeah, so translation wouldn't fall under that, I guess, because that's work for hire, isn't it?
Yeah, you are correct.
I'm wondering if there's a way to make this, like, cover those people. I'm assuming they've said explicitly that it doesn't count for them. Because when I take a job, even if I'm only there for a day, I'm technically and like legally classified as an employee. Like I have to fill out paperwork. I'm on payroll, even if I'm only there for a day.
Yeah. I think the way that it works in the movie and like film, you know, TV business is very different from, for manga people, I think it's just like contracting, like, we'll send us an invoice and we'll say that we paid you for this service. It's like calling in a repairman or something.
Yeah. Well, I think that that's a requirement of my union. Because non-union film work is very similar. You show up, you might not even sign anything. They pay you cash and you're just expected to report, you know, accurately to the IRS. But one thing that I did want to mention is I was looking at all the comments and responses on Anime News Network on the unionization. A lot of it is very positive, but a few people pointed out that one of the things that they negotiated is people won't be forced to work on titles that make them uncomfortable, which I think is fair considering how wide of a like variety of stories, you know, you can have in manga. You can have like super straightforward people just talking to like really graphic pornography, and Seven Seas does a little bit of everything.
Yeah, Seven Seas does a fair amount of pornography. I know they have their whole like
ghost ship.
Don't they have the, yeah, they have Ghost Ship.
Yep.
Because, yeah, I got a few Ghost Ship titles on my shelf right over here.
Yeah, I think Call Girl from Another World may be a Ghost Ship title.
Mm-hmm.
But ironic, maybe not ironically, but funny enough, Gigant, not a Ghost Ship title. Despite there being multiple graphic scenes of people having sex.
Yeah.
And Call Girl from Another World, not really more or less graphic than Gigant. So maybe it has more to do with where it was first published. But I just like, I wish that people in like anime fans and manga fans would worry about anything other than censorship for like just once. I don't know if I said that part. They're worried that this is going to lead to censorship.
I don't see that. Like, it's literally just people being like, hey, like, first of all, they're a fairly big company. Like, I'm sure that there are employees who are fine doing that work.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to find like creeps who want to work on porn.
Yeah.
I shouldn't call them creeps. That's not nice.
I mean, there's certain things that I wouldn't work on in my business. Like, I wouldn't work on anything like, I don't know, anti-LGBT. You know, I don't want to supply that propaganda machine. I try to avoid cop shows. It's really difficult in New York. Sometimes you don't know until you show up.
Yeah.
But I certainly wouldn't do a full season of one.
So
no different than that.
So you won't be doing sound on Matt Walsh's next movie?
No, I will not.
Okay.
But that's a great example. Like, if I found out the director was some like right-wing lunatic, like, okay, I don't need to be any part of this. But yeah, really, really great news. I hope that we get more information. I know that we have reached out to them to do an interview. And at the time they said that they were not doing any press until they had the results from the vote. I assume that no longer is an issue because they've been like recognized without the vote factoring in. So we'll see what we can arrange, but we're going to still talk about that as we get more updates. But let's get into some discussion pieces. I think I said Kyle was going to go first. So you wanted to talk about Time Bokan.
Yes, I brought this up the other week when I was asking, what should I watch? And Vinny chastised me. He said that Time Bokan doesn't count because it's just two episodes. And you know what? Fair. I did watch it in an hour. So are you familiar with any of the Time Bokan, like, umbrella series?
I know that Time Ettringer exists because I've heard multiple podcasts review it, but I could not tell you what it's about. If my life depended on it.
I'll just read a few of them. So you might have seen some of these.
Is it
so
Tatsunoku?
Time Bokan is one. There's also Yatterman. There's Zenderman. Otasukaman. Yadodataman. Ipatsuman. And Itadakiman.
That's the funny thing.
So here's the thing. These two episodes are wildly different. But the first one, it's basically Tatsunoko taking all these Time Bokan characters who, as I discovered, are basically carbon copies of one another. It's the villains, right? They're all getting together. It turns out that there's some kind of like bear plot device, which is used to explain why all the villains are fighting each other in a wacky racist style thing.
Oh, I thought you meant an actual bear until you kept talking.
No. So
now, when you say they're all carbon copies, do you mean sort of like how there's Voltes V and then there's Combattler V?
Okay. So all of these characters are the exact same design. Like, there'll be like a guy with like a 5 o'clock shadow, and he's the exact same, but he has different clothes.
Mm.
And then there'll be a guy with like a mustache twirling, but sometimes he wears a hat and sometimes not. And then there's always a third character who's a like, usually like, it seems like it's a hot blonde is what they're going for, but like kind of not hot. And she transforms, but then sometimes she wears like a mask and sometimes she is like lounging on like a throne, but it's the same.
Like Duranjo.
Right. And every once in a while, like one of the groups will have like, oh, maybe one of them will be missing and they'll have some other dude. But then the, you know, like if you kind of look at all of them next to one another, as you were forced to in this 30-minute episode, the first one, it very quickly becomes a joke because the whole frame narrative is that, oh, we're hiring for a movie. And in order to like make it be, I guess, like, because we're going to leave this open to the public, we're going to hold this exhibition of all of these characters racing, and whichever group wins is going to be cast. And then you're just like, oh, they're all the same person. Right. Like, it's kind of like, it's so rigged that you're just like, okay. But the absurdity of the episode is that the characters, like, they're still beholden to their own individual universe teams, which is like, it's like Team Rocket, you know how in Pokemon that like, they always get blast off at the speed of light at the end of the episode.
Right. Yeah.
Like it's like that. So even though they're no longer in like their own universes, and it's very clear that they were kind of sort of actors. This is kind of sort like they were villains, but they're also trying to be actors. But like, and there's certain scenes where one of them might try to sabotage the rest, and he'll be like, "Let me check." I don't know, the forecast, like my, what's it when you're getting like a reading, a psychic reading?
Your tarot reading? What do you, I'm not sure.
It's like, I don't know, when you go to like a fortune teller and it's like, would you tell me what you think is going to happen? And they're just like, this is going to blow up in your face. And their other villain characters will be like, that doesn't sound like it's going to end up. And they're like, it'll blow up in their face. And then of course they end up getting hoisted on their own petard, and the missile that they threw at the guys will turn out to turn back at them, Wile E. Coyote style.
Nice.
I know, it's like really funny though. It's really clever because the first one is just like really on point. And there's like even a point where the villains go like, oh, we borrowed like the keys to the mecha from our individual series, from our main characters, because we told them if we get the job that we'd find like a bit part on the project for them. And they were like, okay, here's the keys to the mecha from Yatterman or something. And then they have, but then the other villain group that they try to off also got the mecha from their group. And so then the two hero mechas are fighting each other, but because they're also carbon copies of one another, they end up coming to a stalemate. And because they're heroes, they shake hands on it and are just like, we're friends now. We're friend mechas. And there's a moment where you're just like, what? And then the villains are like, you're really going to be friends? You're working for us. Fight them. And then the mechas get angry and turn on the villains. And you're just like, what? But like, it goes to great pains to like show how, like, it's so funny. Like, it's sending up how cheap this is, because they'll literally be the exact same animation pose, but they're reversed. And you're just like, oh, they just switched the cell over and drew over it differently. Cool. Like, okay. Like, and they very clearly like are using the same cell for a lot of this stuff. So for example, there's a stock explosion that happens and it's the same explosion and you see it probably like 12 times during the episode. But like, I think that's them just like the animators really just like for some reason love Taimbokan, and they're like, yeah, this is what it is. We're going to like lean into how like cheap this is. Mm-hmm. So it ends up being really fun. And then I won't spoil the ending because it's hilarious, but it's definitely like worth the 30 minutes. But then the second episode I felt was a little bit more down. The whole idea for that is that the characters who won from the first half, which is the, what's their name? They're called the Dozuma Gang, I believe. The Dorombo Gang, which is from Yatterman. So they're now starting off the episode and they're given a mission by their head villain guy of the Dorombo Gang. And he goes, here, I need you to steal this thing from the from Tatsunoko Kingdom, which is like a cross between Toontown and Disneyland, but for Tatsunoko characters. Mm-hmm. And then I guess the whole, the funny thing about this episode is that the, you know, this, the Adaman group, the Dorombo gang, they're going there and they like immediately run into Speed Racer who runs past them. And then they end up like wrecking his Mach 5 and they end up seeing like a black and white Tetsunoko pass by. And they're like, oh, he's in black and white. Let's move on. But then they're trying to steal this thing. And the Yatterman hero characters apparently got married in the interim. And they're just like off being lovey-dovey and weird and are too busy with like being so into themselves that they are like, well, let's just let the other people worry about them. So then you have to understand that the Taimbokan characters are not they're not A-listers, right? It's not like Superman and Batman. It's like, these are like C, D, F rank characters.
It's like Booster Gold and the Blue Beetle.
Right? Like this isn't Scooby-Doo and the gang. This isn't even like Space Ghost. This is like less Jabberjaw. Than Space Ghost. Yeah. It's like C-Lab 2020. Okay. Like completely like whatever, but they're stopped when they get there and they have like a mecha that's a transforming girl mecha. And it starts off as a first grader and then it turns into Sailor Moon Moon.
Oh my God.
And then at the end of the episode, it turns into like a Oba-chan who's like, oh, I want to eat food. I can do my diet later. And you're like, you're a mecha. What? But anyways, so they're trying to steal this thing in Tetsunoko Kingdom, and they end up running into all of the A-listers because they're all there in Tetsunoko Kingdom. So you see Science Ninja Team Gatchaman, and you see Kashern, and then you see a decidedly non-A-lister. What's his name? I wrote it down. One second. It's Hurricane Polymer. And he's just like, I want to defeat them. But the problem is all of those A-listers, they're like, their universes are still funny, but like those series are mostly serious of like, oh, like all this village was killed by the villains. Whereas these guys are like, again, closer to Wile E. Coyote, and they're completely unprepared to deal with like the antics of this, you know, completely like ridiculous team. So like they end up like their mecha ends up playing into the super the Sailor Moon Moon, and they're like, "Oh, you hurt me! Why would you do that?" And the mecha's crying, and the half of the group's like, "Yo, this is bad for my image. Like, I don't hit girls. Like, I'm out." And then half the other villain, the group of the heroes, are just like, "I didn't have any lines, so I'm gone." And then it just ends up being like the main member of Science Ninja Gatchaman and the girl from Gatchaman, and then Polymer, but then. The girl's like, you would hit a girl? And he goes, no. And she goes, you're just interested in her because she's young. And he goes, no, I'm really into girls who are over 30.
Oh my God.
And she goes, I'm less than 30. And he goes, fuck. Like, damn, I'm screwed no matter what. And then he gets defeated. But like, I know that sounds like a lot of fun and it is, but like the first episode is really like well-paced, right? Because it's like you're seeing all like there's six groups of these people. And even though they're the same, there's enough differentiation that like it's really interesting to just see like how they differ. And it always feels like there's something to do. Whereas the second one, it feels like one long extended. It's much closer to like a Ready Player One than like I'm into. But
yeah, it kind of almost sounds like that Infinity Force that Tatsunoko did a couple years ago, where it's just like all of our stuff. But like kind of different.
Yeah. And it's just really fun though. And I definitely, I've had it for a long time and I think it's pretty good for what it is, but the first one is like really good. And I think that the second one pulls it down a little, despite also being like clever. So yeah, I would say people watch Taimbokan. I think it's probably on something like, what's that free anime service
Retro
that
has Crush? All Tubi?
It's probably on Retro Crush. I would guess.
You're thinking of Retro Crush.
I think it's on Retro Crush.
All right. Well, maybe we will, or maybe I'll finally watch it. Noel, you watched some One Piece movies.
Yeah, was it? So I think you guys talked about this on the news show about how One Piece is going on break for a month to prepare for the final arc that'll probably be 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, like
a saga, right? Not an arc.
Like, yeah.
Oh, arc would be insane.
Like, yeah, like everyone's big, oh man, One Piece is about to end. But I'm like, yeah, One Piece is going to end in like a decade. Like, if you if you follow like interviews with Oda, like One Piece has been ending since like 2005. So yeah. I never trust whenever he says it's ending. But anyway, I said like, yeah, let me take this time to check out some other One Piece media that I haven't seen yet. So I decided to watch two of the movies that are up on Netflix right now, One Piece Strong World and One Piece Film Z. I know these two, they're like, they mark like a big like turn in One Piece movies, because these two, I think, were the first ones that Oda was directly involved in.
That's right. Before then, they were just like random episodes that the animation staff came up with. And
yeah,
they weren't like, it was very much just like, here, you're watching a one-off. Whereas I think at that point is when they started to do like I think for one of them, they started to do like, maybe you got an episode or two in the middle of an arc that was like, this is just to set up this movie. So yes, it's still, they're still mostly self-contained, but there's enough of a connection that you don't just feel like, oh, this completely is meaningless. It's just mostly meaningless.
Yeah. Like with Strong World, I know they had like a special chapter of the manga where they were kind of saying like, yeah, no, the villain from this movie might kind of be canon because you got these real characters who are talking about him. Because was it for Strong World? The big villain is Golden Lion Shiki, who's like a notorious pirate who escaped jail by like cutting off his legs and putting swords there.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Pirate as hell.
Yeah, no, it rocks. I should add this, since I'm talking about Shiki, I watch both of these movies dubbed. And for some reason, they made the choice to give Shiki this accent that I think is supposed to be Jamaican.
Oh, no.
But
oh,
no. I do not. Yeah, I'm so confused. If it is, it's horrible. It is completely wrong. And I looked up the voice actor for Shiki. It's a guy named Scott McNeil. So, Scott, you got some splaining to do.
Oh, no.
Yeah, anyway, so premise of Strong World is you've got this guy Shiki, he escaped, he's trying to rebuild his like pirate empire with his crew, and he's got like, he has the power to make things float, like, you guys understand like devil fruits and shit like that.
Yes.
Yeah
he has like a devil fruit that makes things float. So he's made this like floating island where he's raising up all these like super strong animals that he's going to like drop on. He's pretty much just going to like drop them on a section of the world to like wipe everybody out there to kind of say, ha ha, I'm back, motherfuckers. And then he runs afoul of Luffy and the gang, and he tries to kidnap Nami because he's like, yo, you're really good at navigating the seas.
They're always trying to get Nami, and that's a bad move when it comes to Monkey D. Luffy.
Like, yeah, like, they're, shoot, now that I think about it, there are a bunch of those earlier movies are kind of just that.
I mean, she's one of the few that, like, you know, she, like, they always give her something to do in fights, and she is powerful, don't get me wrong, but, like, you know, she's not in the, like, again, she's at the lower end of the power tier.
That is, like, another thing about these One Piece movies is, like, aside from Luffy, Zoro, and Sanji, the rest of the cast don't really have much to do.
Yeah.
Because they don't have, like, a big fight against a named villain. And the ones that Zoro and Sanji have are kind of underwhelming. But, yeah. Like,
it's hard to do it in a movie. Like, that's why it needs the series to breathe, because Oda, like, on the main episodes of One Piece, he really does give them the room for like everyone to have their own conflict and enemies, right. And you feel it, and it's justified, and it's just like fantastic. But that's also why the series balloons and just not possible in like an hour and a half.
Yeah. And I mean, Strong World is kind of fun. You have a duck that can make thunder. And nice. In the final fight, Luffy rides it while he's fighting Shiki. because Shiki can fly. Luffy can't fly. He needs assistance flying. And then Luffy like kicks him with a giant foot, and that's how he wins.
I found
way to do it.
My mistake. No, he
is that the other one?
No. What he does, he makes his foot giant, and then it gets hit by lightning, and then he kicks Shiki with like his big lightning foot.
I found what may be a dub clip of Shiki, so we can hear this terrible accent that you've described.
Oh yeah, yes, yes.
Geez. But obviously, I can't test it before we push play, so we're just gonna find out. It says Luffy versus Shiki, Strong World dub.
Billy, go get Nami!
He's not doing a lot of talking.
Yeah, I think this is where, like, he had the snow lion show up.
Yeah.
If you want to fight, it's over here! Third gear!
Well, that was worth a shot. This is like a 5-minute clip, so I'm not going to submit us to that.
All right, yeah. I mean, if you want to find a clip and like work it in.
Yeah, pretend that I played the correct clip.
Yeah. But yeah, Shiki has a horrible Jamaican accent from someone who I think has never heard a Jamaican speak, but.
Yeah, and it's like, I looked up Scott McNeil, definitely the furthest from somebody that you would perceive as Jamaican. He's just, right. He's a cowboy.
He's a cowboy.
his Wikipedia picture, he might as well be wearing spurs on his face.
But yeah, and then there's Film Z, I will say, is a much better movie because the villain in that is a guy with a robot arm who used to be a Marine, and then he starts a terrorist organization.
Awesome.
Because pirates killed his family and then cut off his arm. And then the pirate who did that got pardoned by the government. Yeah.
Well, government's always doing shit like this.
Classic, yeah, so the government.
Yeah. Dang old.
You don't read One Piece, JP. They're the worst.
No, I don't. I mean, read the first like maybe 10 volumes.
World government's like the big bad of that universe.
Okay. I thought we were talking about the actual government.
Oh, they're also bad.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
World government, regular government, you know, they it's all shit all the way down. So yeah, with Z, so his whole plan is the main villain's name is Z. I should awesome. Bring that up. His name used to be Zephyr. And then when he quit the Marines, he's like, I'm no longer Zephyr, I'm Z. And but in the English dub, they call him Zed. And I think that's for the mouth flaps.
Because in Japanese, it's Zet.
Yeah, they would say like Zet or Zeto, the same way they do with Mazinger Z. So.
And it's Zed in most places, like Canada, like British English, they say Zed. They don't say Z. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I feel they do that for the mouth flaps because of. A large chunk of that movie is like Luffy running after him going like Teme Zeto. So yeah.
Would
better it's a Canadian dub.
Shoot, yeah.
Nah, that would be hilarious. But yep.
Another thing I want to point out is in the case of Film Z, they introduce Nami tits first, and I think that's really fun.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Yeah. So was it like this is also a case where they run afoul of Zed because they fish him out of the water after he blew himself up doing terrorist shit. And when he finds out Luffy and the gang are pirates, he beats them all up and blows up their ship.
That's fair, honestly. would you... I guess, which one of these would you say is a stronger film?
Oh, Film Z, yeah. by a country mile. Because what is it like? Also, it ends with Luffy and Z having like a fist fight in a volcano.
Okay, that's important. Yeah,
and was it their halfway fight in the movie? They have about like three fights, and the second fight they have like a. During the fight, Z pulls out a tiny gun and like shoots Luffy in the shoulder and then steals his hat. And it's like the most egregious thing. Like the way it is framed in the movie. I literally gasped when he took Luffy's hat. I was like, oh shit, no.
That hat. Yeah, no, there's definitely a lot of that.
Like, yeah, like it was actually a case where I was just like, I bought in fully because of how well they framed the scene. I was like, oh shit, not the hat.
Yeah, you can replace, you know, the people in the One Piece world can handle themselves, but that hat.
The hat's very important. The hat is the One Piece, according to JP.
Yeah, did I say that?
I think you've said that. You've also said that Luffy is Roger's son. You've also said that the
that Luffy is the One Piece.
Yeah, you said Luffy is the One Piece.
The One Piece is the friends we made along the way.
Another big thing about Z is, so I want you guys to think for a second and wonder, what kind of song do you think they play at the end of?
Oh, I think I know the answer to this. Isn't it like Avril Lavigne?
It is. It is Avril Lavigne doing a cover of not only How You Remind Me by Nickelback, but she also does a cover of Bad Reputation by Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. And it's the wildest shit I've ever seen in my life.
I can just imagine going into that not knowing.
Right? Because what is it? Like, I had heard about that like years ago when the movie first came out, but I forgot about it. So watching it now, yes. I heard that and I'm like, what is happening?
It says Bad Reputation is one of Oda's favorite songs. And he personally sent her a letter thanking her for her covers.
I don't know why I know this. I must have just Googled this one day.
I mean, it definitely, like, it's the only thing under the music section of the Wikipedia article. It's like, let me just tell you what's going on with this.
So I did not know that one of his favorite songs was Bad Reputation.
But also, this is How You Remind Me.
Yeah.
Wow.
How's now I'm wondering, how's no one done a One Piece AMV to Bad Reputation? I feel like that could work.
I'm sure if we look hard enough.
Oh, man.
You said you watched these on Netflix?
Yeah, they're both on Netflix. Because the live action movie is happening now. They're going whole hog in getting that One Piece content on Netflix, because they have those two movies. They have the two movies that came out before those. And I think they just got up to Water 7 with the anime. So they're like, you got like three, like maybe 400 episodes of One Piece up on Netflix right now.
Good Lord.
Water 7, that's like 300.
Is it 300?
Yeah, remember, because, okay, I'm at 746, which is the end, any case, like, I promise, they're, like, not even halfway. That's, like, they're probably in the 200 range, honestly. Mm. All right. That's a long time ago, Water 7.
Oh, okay.
Well,
another thing I have down here is, I think that a One Piece versus Lupin the Third special would be kind of cool.
State your case.
Because, you know, you got Luffy and his gang, and they're outlaws, in a sense, being chased by an international law organization. And they got Lupin and his gang, and they're just doing shit, causing mayhem, being chased by Zenigata. You wouldn't necessarily do the whole Straw Hat crew. You would maybe just do, like, the initial four,
yeah,
and Lupin's crew.
Well, and you'd have, of course, Fujiko, also known as Land Nami. Much like how a seal is just a water dog.
Yeah, exactly. You could introduce both of them tits first. Oh my
God. Okay.
Yeah, you could have Zoro and Goemon cut something. It'd be great.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if there is some inspiration there. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like this is a good time.
Yeah, I have to say, I enjoyed myself.
If somebody did not know anything about One Piece, could they watch these movies?
Yes, I think they could. And that was another thing I kind of wanted to bring up, because I feel like, because I know in the case of One Piece, people are very intimidated by it. They hear about how long it is, and they do like what you do, JP, when you hear that an anime is longer than 25 episodes, you go, Jesus Christ. So
26 is too much.
Yeah, which I feel like that's part of the whole thing where nowadays we've been regimented to like the 12 episode model.
Yeah.
So anything longer than that, people get intimidated by. But I feel like, yeah, the movies could be a good starting point to like at least show you if this is something you'd be into. Because, you know, that used to be the thing back in the day. Because I know if you ask somebody in our age range, like, hey, how'd you get into Dragon Ball? They're not going to tell you, oh, I watched the first episode of Dragon Ball. They're going to be like, I was at Blockbuster and I rented that movie where like a robot punches Goku in the balls. And it could be the same way with One Piece. You'd be like, yeah, I saw that movie where a guy with a robot fist like threw Luffy through a wall and then shot him with a gun.
I wonder what my introduction to Dragon Ball was.
It was probably like random episodes on Toonami. That's how I found out about it.
It was probably Monkey Magic.
Yes.
I think Majin Buu might have been my introduction.
Really?
Yeah, because that's around the time I got into anime. That's when Toonami was airing Majin Buu episodes.
Hmm.
So
yeah.
Well, it sounds like a good time, and I believe, because I know we talked about some movies leaving Netflix, but I feel like that was a few months ago. So these might not have been in that batch.
Yeah. No. Like, I saw Film Z yesterday and it was still up there. It didn't say anything about like, we're leaving soon.
Oh God, I'm so tired. I'm sorry. Well, so I guess check those out on Netflix if you want to see them. I read some manga this week. I've been doing this a lot during my lunch break now. It's just, I find it's easier to read manga than it is to watch anime, especially if you're at work. But before I get into that, I wanted to talk about Barnes & Noble. So I haven't been to a Barnes & Noble in a long time, pretty much since moving to New York, because we have Kinokuniya. It's like a Japanese bookstore with an entire floor devoted to manga. And so in my head, I'm like, well, this must be the superior store. But they run out of things pretty frequently, because it's a very popular place to buy manga. And I was trying to find Volume 1 of Summertime Rendering. It's sold out in a lot of places. You can't get it on Amazon. You can't get it on Right Stuff. But it turned out that my local Barnes & Noble had several copies. And I don't know if it's just that they have a better, you know, stock, if they order more things because they get more foot traffic, or maybe just people that go to Barnes & Noble aren't buying this particular manga. So last weekend, I believe it was, I went to the Barnes & Noble in Union Square, and holy shit. I don't know if I'm going to abandon Kinokuniya, but definitely it's going to be one of my usual spots to check out. They had a ton of stuff that I would never see at the other store, and they had a lot of things in stock that have been out of stock at Kinokuniya for a long time. You know, things like Monster, 20th Century Boys. They still had tons of Poon Poon. They had Rose of Versailles, first volume. I've never seen that in person before, so I picked that up. They had Fist of the North Star, first volume, another thing I've never seen in person.
So the Barnes & Noble I'm at, they have a bunch of Fist of the North Star.
It's pretty good. But they also had stuff that you don't find at Kinokuniya. Like, they had Ode to Kirihito, which I almost picked up, but it was like $50. It's a very big book. So one of the manga that I have been reading is called Frieren. I think I'm pronouncing that right. I keep misremembering the name. I have the Wikipedia open. Its full name is Frieren Beyond Journey's End. And the reason I bought this is because of Spite. This was another manga that has been out of stock for a very long time. It was out of stock on Right Stuff. It was out of stock at Kinokuniya. I guess I could have just gone to Barnes & Noble and I probably would have gotten it the same day. But I waited until Right Stuff had it in stock. And so it only showed up like maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. I don't know when Volume 1 came out. I think 3 or 4 just came out. This is a fairly new series. It started in 2020. And it is a newer mangaka, at least one that I cannot find a lot of information on. Kanohito Yamada, and illustrations by Tsukasa Abe. This is a Viz joint, and it is about a group of partiers, like adventurers, I should say.
Oh.
And it takes place right after they...
When you said partiers, I thought like...
I know, I said that on X, because I was thinking like your party in a Final Fantasy game. I realized that doesn't make sense out of context.
I'm thinking like party people, like Hong Ming.
It's Andrew W.K. It's, the people that...
This is like the kind of realization that we should definitely call like, I'm going to party up, you know, and just like, you're at a party. Like, actually, I'm just saying.
It's like the people...
Borrow this terminology. Let's use this tool for good.
Background of a Snoop Dogg video. So this takes place...
Like a guy drinking a 40, but he's dressed like a... this
manga takes place after the final battle. Like, you don't see the final battle. This is like on the way back to the village, and then, you know, they just like go on with their life. I had another manga that had a similar premise called Level One Demon in One Room or whatever. It's much better than that. This one, so it like flashes forward like 30 years after this battle. And one of the members of the party, Frieren, is, I don't know if she's immortal, but she has a much longer lifespan. She is, I believe, an elf. And so she's already been around for like 400 or 500 years. And so like 50 years, 100 years, you know, 1 or 2 years is nothing to her. And so a problem that she keeps running into is that she forgets that a human lifespan is not the same as hers. And so when she just fucks off for 20 years, it's not a big deal to her. It'd be like, I don't know, if one of us left town for a couple months, you know, she comes back and her friends are now dead. And she has to come to terms with that. Not all of them. She hangs out with some of them. But they're all like very, like they're in their fucking 80s now.
Mm.
And so... this, so far, I'm one volume in, it deals with her trying to get better at, you know, I guess, understanding that she needs, like, if she cares about these people, she should hang out with them while they're still around.
Wow, that's actually a dope premise.
It is, it's a pretty good premise. I was not initially sold on this because, I don't know, just the setting... didn't really do, like, I like a fantasy setting, but it wasn't doing anything for me. And I think I said I bought this out of spite, but I don't believe I said what the spite was. Anime News Network a few months ago, maybe even, you know, 6 months ago, because this has been out of stock for so long, they put out an article called Frieren is the best manga I've ever read. I was like, okay, settle down.
Yeah, let's call crazy hyperbole, perhaps.
And it opened with, I know what you're thinking, but I've read a lot of manga.
Okay. I was just about to say, maybe they've only read like 3 manga.
It's technically true. Mm. But also, like, only 1 or 2 volumes were out at that point. And so I'm like, I have to buy
this. That's all you need sometimes.
This fucking asshole. That is how I felt about Zom 100 when I read the first volume. Like, I never need to read manga again. This is, it's the peak manga. But I ended up really enjoying it. It's not a manga that I would like. I wouldn't call it like a Gigant was a page turner. I couldn't put it down. Frerin, I really enjoyed just reading like one chapter at lunch every day. I wouldn't say it's like Mushishi, but similarly how I like consumed that. Like I want to watch one today. I'm going to think about it for a while and then I'll, you know, watch another. I'm not, it's thematically has nothing to do with it. That's just how I prefer to watch that show. And so I'm not, I have the other two volumes that are out and I might wait a while before I read volume two, just because there's not like a ongoing plot right now. It's just, she's going around and like learning different magic and she's taking care of one of her old friends, like apprentices and teaching her magic. There's a really funny moment. Maybe the best chapter so far for me was she goes to this village where, you know, 50 or 80 years, something, some long stretch of time ago, her and a group of people sealed this demon lord, not the one at the beginning of the manga, I don't believe, but just some demon lord that got sealed, like, you know, a significant amount of time ago.
They're always sprouting up. You know how demon lords are.
I mean, right? This is it's a common plot line in these types of stories. It happened in Fairy Tale, and that's all I can think about right now.
Wow, that happened to so many. Look, named one. Great job, tale, JP.
Fairy Tale, I feel like that happened about like four or five times.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, the whole idea of like sealing somebody's power and then
no, I just gotta give you shit.
Them coming back. It happened in Inuyasha with Ryokosei. There you
go. Look at that. He summoned a second anime name. I got great job. Two.
Again, with that, I think with Inuyasha that happened a couple of times as well.
I'm pretty sure that was a plot of Overfiend.
I'm pretty sure that happened with Inuyasha. Like, he was sealed.
Oh, yeah, that's literally Inuyasha. Fuck me. Yeah, boom. So she goes to visit this demon who, like, 80 years ago invented killing magic. And it was the most dangerous magic ever. And nobody could, you know, fight against it. And he was too strong to kill, so they just seal him. The seal is about to give way, so she's going to reseal him or kill him or whatever. And he comes back and he's like, oh, Frerin, it's been 80 long years. It's time to finally get my revenge, implying that he was conscious.
He said, after 4,000 years, I'm free. It's yes. time to conquer Earth.
It happened in Power Rangers. Yes. And she's like, all right, I don't know, bad dude whose name I don't remember. Time to take care of this. We're going to kill you this time. And he goes to do the killing magic. And the apprentice like ends up fending it off super easy. And she's like, oh, weird. He used like a low-level technique. You said he had the most strong magic in the world. And Frerin's like, oh, no, that was the killing magic, but it's been 80 years and we figured out its weakness. It's not that scary anymore. The demon lord just like, fuck. And they take him out pretty easily.
So that's hilarious.
Spoilers for chapter 5, I guess. But I really enjoyed that one. It's a fun
you're like,
manga.
I have the Black Plague. And you're like, oh, that?
Yeah, like, we just have a pill for that now.
We made penicillin. We'll be all right.
So the other, because that was kind of quick, the other manga that I've been reading is called Fly Me to the Moon. And I bought this one because I kept seeing it. You know, like you go to some bookstores and they'll have like front facing ones so you can see the cover. So that is what this
is. That the one that like Crunchyroll that they made an anime that Crunchyroll was really advertising?
Yes. And okay. I did not know that when I bought this because the anime has a different name. So I've been seeing this fucking manga for months calling my name and I read the back of one of them once and thought, oh, this seems interesting. It's kind of meta.
This price is ridiculous.
And they just never had volume one in stock. And finally they had volume one in stock. So I get it. And when I get home, I look it up and I'm like, oh, this is Tonikawa Over the Moon for You. I didn't watch that, but I remember that name.
Yeah, like, felt like what such is an it asshole. About?
So, it says that it's about This is ridiculous.
From the creator of Hayate the Combat Butler.
What is this?
Was
what? all I know is it sounds like it was written by like the Catholic League or like every Mormon I've known.
What?
He says that he ran into this girl who is so beautiful, he can't even stand it. He asked her to become his girlfriend, and she says she'll only become his girlfriend if he marries her first.
You know, yes, that's what it's about, but it's so much crazier than that.
She shows up at his doorstep with the marriage form, starting their relationship and their marriage. Jesus Christ.
You're skipping a lot of details, I'll have you know, because I read the manga.
It says it's also classified as science fiction. How?
That is correct.
Because his name is NASA, and NASA means starry night. So he meets her.
There's got to be more than that.
He almost gets hit, but she's from the moon. In the title. So he is about to get hit by a car for some reason. He's not paying attention, and she saves his life. Or no, she's about to get hit by a car, and he goes to push her out of the way. Then he wakes up like unconscious or whatever. Or he wakes up from being unconscious, sorry. You can't wake up unconscious. And she's like, oh my God, are you okay? And he's like, what the fuck? You don't even have a scratch on you. So apparently she has like superpowers. They haven't gone too in depth with that. He broke like all the bones in his body. And she's just like, all right, well, I did enough to where you're not going to die. I'll see you later. And that's when he goes after her because she's super attractive. And he's so in shock that he doesn't realize that his legs are broken. He just goes running after her in like a blizzard. And that's when he says, will you be my girlfriend? And she says, only if you marry me. And then she disappears for like 5 years. So he goes on, you know, he recovers from his broken leg syndrome.
This sounds very much like Earthchild.
Broken leg syndrome. Don't you mean just a broken leg?
Yes. He graduates high school or middle school or whatever. And that's when she shows up with the marriage certificate. And he's like, oh shit, I thought you were kidding. And that's about as far as I've gotten so far. I've read like maybe 3/4 of the first volume. There's a funny chapter called like, this is worse than making a contract with Cubey and becoming a magical girl.
Wow.
That's worth the cover price alone. But yeah, it is not what I thought it was going to be. It's very like, oh my God, am I allowed to hold her hand? And she's like, I'm literally your wife. Yes, that's okay. You dork.
I'm literally your wife.
What? And at one point she like comes over, it's when she just shows up, but he's like, oh, do you want to stay the night? And she's like, I'm your wife. I live here now. What are you talking about? He's like, oh, but I only have one bed. Again, I'm your wife. Normally how this works is we share the bed. He's like, oh my God, can we do that? Do I need to mention the wife part again? It's a lot. I bought volume 1 and 2 because that's just the problem I have in my life. And because I figured if I liked it, I didn't want to have it out of stock. I don't know if I'm going to keep going, but it's very silly. It has not gotten supernatural yet, other than it being very clear that she comes from the moon. But that is not factored into the story in any way yet.
Got it.
So I guess we're going to have to save this other stuff for next time. I know that Noel is caught up on Dragon Quest Die, I believe. Kyle's watched some Sunny Boy, and then I can talk about Summertime Rendering in Asadora next time.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to the Gonza.moe No Name Anime Show. I think that's what this is called. You can find it at gonzo.moe. And you can download the podcast on Apple Music and Google Spotify, whatever these things are called. You can leave us voicemails at 716-46-MOE-43. That's 716-466-6343. If you're going to Otakon, come say hi to me. Most of the people that listen to the show that are going to Otakon, I'm sharing a hotel room with. So I guess I'm just saying, please be nice to me in the hotel.
No promises, JP.
You hear that? If you're going to Otakon with JP, be sure to yell at him.
No! My worst enemy, myself. But yeah, also, Anime NYC, go buy your badge from a scalper. I don't know. Thank you for listening, everybody. I'm going to go electrocute myself trying to fix a guitar. You plug those in when you fix them, apparently. Goodbye!
Bye.
So you want another round? Color me surprised.
You're planning on attacking the East Blue, aren't you?
So what?
And Nami, she's okay?
Sure, she's doing peachy. Gee! You sure put up a dangerous front. But you don't think the eight of you are going to walk out of here alive, do you? I figured only one of you would be naive enough to think she could sacrifice herself to save her home. But now you're rushing in here, an entire suicide squad.
You're as dumb as you look. Nami would never sacrifice herself, you idiot. She joined your crew so she could attack from the inside. Now prepare yourself, Shiki the Golden Lion. We won't lose the same fight twice!